The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
You can't love a stained glass cartoon.
Next on Life Today, best-selling author John Eldridge opens our eyes to see who Jesus really is.
Jesus has been dressed up in a costume, pushed off into the clouds. No wonder people have a hard time knowing him, loving him, following him. So,
experiencing the true personality of Jesus. Next on Life Today.
Hey, you're great. Appreciate it. John Eldridge is here with us, and we're thrilled to have him. I'm James Robinson. Betty and I welcome all of you to Life Today and all of you here. Thank you so much for being with us. This is an incredibly thought-provoking title, Beautiful Outlaw. Wonder who in the world you're talking about. Experiencing the playful, disruptive, extravagant personality of Jesus. Wonder if he's the beautiful outlaw and who might consider him to be such. And disruptive, Jesus. Playful, Jesus. Sounds like he might be talking about someone I've come to know and not only like, but love. Let's find out about it. Would you welcome John Eldridge to Life Today? Hi, John. Good to see you.
Great to see you.
How's Miss Stacy?
Yeah, real well.
Good.
Real well.
How's Colorado? Is it still pretty?
It's gorgeous. The aspens are gold right now, and it's absolutely beautiful.
Let's just cut to the chase. Let's find out about this beautiful outlaw. I don't really care how you start, where you go. I don't care how you take off on it, but I know, you know, you're always a guy that kind of shakes things up. It's obvious to me you're fond of this beautiful outlaw, and you've kind of picked up some of his characteristics. You know, you can be a troublemaker for some people while you're getting
over
to his own.
Not intentionally. Yes. Oh, it's true. You hang around Jesus, and he rubs off on you. Yeah. It's one of the best things that happens by being his friend.
Absolutely.
It really is.
Well, tell us about it. I want to know about how you got cranking in this and what you want us to hear, because we want everybody to read it and have an idea.
Yeah.
Many will, perhaps all of you.
Yes, yes. All right, so encountering Jesus is the best thing that can ever happen to a person, right?
Yes.
Your whole life is built on that. Your whole ministry is built on that. All right. Falling in love with Jesus is the single greatest event that will ever take place in anyone's life.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the problem. You can't love a stained glass cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
You can't. You can try. You can work at it. You can't love someone who is two-dimensional, has no personality to them, that have become so religious that they're practically not a person anymore. They're like a caricature or like a mannequin. Jesus has been dressed up in a costume, pushed off into the clouds. No wonder people have a hard time knowing him, loving him, following him. So, what Beautiful Outlaw is about is getting his personality back, kind of freeing Jesus from those goofy religious images. And let's find the man. Let's go back in the Gospels. Let's read these stories. Let's encounter the most captivating person you have ever met.
And I have met him, and I find him to be exactly that. And so I don't have any problem understanding some of the things that you say about him that would seem to be disturbing to people who are still trapped in that stained glass image, and they've actually become like a stained glass image themselves, and they're stuck, literally, rigidly stuck. They're not really fun to be around. They look miserable, and you get around them, you'll be miserable. It's not anything really exciting about being around these people.
Right.
And sometimes they try to dress and look alike and think they're looking religious, but they're not looking like God or anything he created. They're getting into some kind of image that just doesn't seem to reflect anything that the Creator has expressed in all that he's made.
Exactly.
All right, now here you go. The playfulness of God and the Poison of Religion. That's chapter one. You get off to a real good start.
Yes, yes, we do. All right, you have a dog.
Mm-hmm.
It happens to be a dachshund.
Right, princess. Right?
Princess.
Beautiful princess.
Right, okay. What was God up to when he made dachshunds? Think of it.
Yeah.
Right? Has princess ever done anything that's made you laugh?
Oh, everything she does. God made me laugh, and he made her long weenie, little bitty short legs, real long nose, real long ears.
Exactly.
And she's beautiful.
Exactly. Okay. Personality, mm-hmm. playfulness, mm-hmm. right? The playfulness of God is all through creation, right?
Absolutely.
You see, have you ever seen ducks trying to land on the ice?
Oh, it's so funny.
It's hysterical.
They don't even know how to ski. Right. It's obvious they can't ski.
Exactly, right? And when our golden retriever, Oban, has a particular taste for underwear, he'll grab mine and take off down the hall, you know, and I'm in, right? The playfulness of God is all through creation. Why don't we see it in the Gospels? Why don't we think of Jesus as playful? This is his creation, mm-hmm. right? Princess is Jesus's creation.
Absolutely.
Okay, and she expresses something about his playfulness.
Right, and his love for us.
Okay.
Because all his kids like to play too and like to play with fun stuff.
Exactly.
Like little dogs and
exactly.
big dogs.
Exactly, right. Okay, so if we find the playfulness of God in creation, and we see it all over, I mean, polar bear cubs sliding down hills, right? You see, all over creation is the playfulness mm-hmm. of God.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that about Jesus now, you go, wait a second. Well, then maybe it is in the Gospels. Maybe we just draped Jesus with kind of this religious drapery. Let's go back and take that off and see. So here's the story. It's about a week after the resurrection. Okay, this is the risen Lord now, okay? Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. He's only appeared to his disciples twice, once right there on Sunday morning, and then once about a week later when Thomas was doubting, and Jesus appears in the upper room and says, touch, see, it's real, I am alive. Okay, it's maybe a few days after that, and Peter and the guys don't know where Jesus has gone off to, so they go fishing, right? And the story picks up with the guys have been fishing all night, they've caught nothing, right? And Jesus appears in John 21 on the beach, but they don't recognize him. Well, that's fascinating. This is the risen Christ, right? He could have announced himself in radiant glory. It is I, the Lord. Come thou unto me, right? Okay, you know what he says? He says, hey, caught anything? Oh, the story is rich, rich, rich. They don't even know it's him, so they just yell back like he's some tourist. No! That's it. That's how they answer, right? The risen Jesus. No! Kind of, you know, get out of here. What do you think? You know? He says, we'll try the other side. Right? And so, okay, pause. How did Jesus catch these guys 3 years ago? This same beach, this same story. Right? A night of fishing, nothing to show for it. And Jesus says, try the other side, and the nets are full. And that's when it says they left everything and followed him. So it's 3 years later. Jesus is on the same beach, same guys. They're in the boat, all night, nothing. And Jesus, right, instead of saying, you know, come have a Bible study with thouist, you know. Okay, he says, try the other side. You'll catch some. Right? So they tried the other side, miraculous catch. It's the most beautiful moment because it's then that John yells out, it's the Lord, right? And Peter says, he actually put his clothes back on, jumped in the water, and starts swimming for shore. Do you see the playfulness of Jesus in stories like that? The way he is with his disciples, it's rich. It's so beautiful if we can get his personality back, right?
This is the Jesus I live with. I don't live with the Jesus people have stuck off in church somewhere, even though I go to church and occasionally find him there when people really want him there.
Exactly.
And they'll come in his name rather than their name or their issue or their point of dissension.
Right.
Now, you also talk about a scandalous freedom.
Ooh. Okay. Okay. Beautiful, beautiful, because when you know Jesus, you're going to fall in love with him. Outlaw, because they didn't kill Jesus because he was nice, right? They didn't hang him like a criminal because he was just going around telling people to love one another. Jesus lives with a scandalous freedom. Here's one example. a Jewish man would never speak to his wife in public. Okay, that was you just don't do that, all right? A Jewish rabbi would never speak to any woman in public, all right? Now, Jews don't speak to Samaritans. So, John chapter 4, Jesus is walking through Samaria. What is he doing there, right? What's he doing there? And it says he sits down at a well, and this woman who is single, Samaritan, she has a sexual reputation, right? This is tabloid stuff. She comes up to Jesus at the well, and Jesus, he just strikes up a conversation with her. It is so scandalous that she literally says to him, she says, how is it that you, a Jew, speak to me, a Samaritan woman? And she throws in, woman, like, what do you think you're doing? You know, is it an insult? Is he coming on to her? How's a girl supposed to interpret this? And when the disciples get back into the story later, it says they're shocked that Jesus is talking to a woman. You see, Jesus doesn't care what the nice people think. He's going after this woman's heart. And not only does he capture her, he captures the whole village.
Yes, he does.
By capturing her.
Absolutely.
And the story is, it's so scandalous. It ends up with, it says, the village invited him to stay, and Jesus stayed 2 more days with them. Okay? A Jewish rabbi hanging out with, I mean, this is a white man asking a black woman for a ride in her car in 1920 segregated Birmingham. You don't do this, right? That's our Jesus. That's our Jesus. Okay?
I like him.
Oh, you fall in love with him when you see what he's really like. The famous Sermon on the Mount, okay? Everybody knows this. It's going to become the most famous sermon in the world. It wasn't called the Sermon on the Mount at the time, but everyone knows that there's this really important message Jesus gave, all right? At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, in the Gospel of Matthew, it says, large crowds followed him as he went down the hill, and a leper ran up to him. And he knelt. He doesn't get too close. He kneels and he says, if you're willing, you could make me whole. Okay, now you got to understand what's happening here. First off, you don't get near these people. The book of Leviticus says that lepers have to never wash their hair. They have to wear torn clothing. They can't sleep in town. They have to sleep outside in the woods. They wear a veil over their face. And when they walk through town, they yell out, unclean, unclean, so that no one will touch them accidentally and become unclean yourself, okay? So Jesus' credibility at this moment is really important because he just preached the Sermon on the Mount and he just said, look, this is a life that pleases God. And he's overturning a lot of their ideas, okay? So the leper comes close, not too close, and what does Jesus do? He touches him. He disqualifies himself in front of all the, you know, religious authorities. Jesus reaches out. It is the most beautiful act, right? He doesn't need to touch this guy to heal him. He's already healed people in the Gospels by speaking a word, people a county away, right? Why does Jesus touch him?
He shattered their false system of belief.
He does.
They were locked up.
He is so scandalous. He is so scandalous. In a beautiful way. You see, he's not just sort of throwing his freedom around and flaunting. No, no, no. Jesus, the thing is that Jesus is compelled by more important things. In this case, love. No one's ever touched this guy. This guy needs a human touch more than he needs healing, right? He's maybe never been touched in his life, okay? And Jesus reaches out and shows him the love of God. I mean, you can fall in love with somebody like this.
See, he didn't break the law. He revealed the law. He revealed the truth that God wanted everyone to know that was hidden in religion.
Yes.
In misunderstanding rather than understanding. And God really did, in Jesus, bring to life all the truth in the Word of God. And he brought it home to us. And
well, so many times I think we miss really treasured opportunities that God gives us to reach out in love because we're afraid of what somebody might think.
Exactly.
Of all the traditions that we have learned.
Exactly.
All the strongholds we've been put into.
Right.
By people, by society.
Right.
And we're like, oh, what will they think?
What will they think?
Yeah. Right? Instead of what does God think?
Exactly.
I should do.
Right. And then it shows you that we're living by the fear of man. Yeah. Right. And the fear of man is a snare.
We're going to talk to John in another program about beautiful outlaw. Listen to some of the chapter titles. I think it'll arouse your curiosity. The Missing Essential, Jesus' Personality. Is Jesus really playful? Fierce intention, the most human face of all. Extravagant generosity. Extravagant generosity? Mm-hmm. By the way, I think that's what a lot of our viewers experience. An extravagant generosity. They get it about giving.
Yeah.
They understand that giving is living, that it is more than money. It's not limited to money. It's giving many times, money, because that's really the simplest to give. Mm. It's giving time.
Yes.
It's giving an ear. It's giving a hand. It's giving attention. It's expressing concern.
Yes.
Releasing compassion. All those things, that's extravagant generosity.
Yes.
Disruptive honesty, that does sound. I could, when I think of someone disruptively honest, I think immediately, Jesus.
Yes.
That's Jesus.
Yes, it is.
And we need that. Scandalous freedom, cunning. We're going to talk about some more of these with John. And by the way, tell your friends today, if you'd like to have it, you make a gift, help us share water. We'll send you John Eldridge's book, Beautiful Outlaw. You already know from all the books that he's written, he is a best-selling author, he and his wife both. He's been here with us many times. He's a tremendous blessing. Would you like to just say thanks to John Eldridge for being someone that's bold enough and loving enough to tell us about Wild at Heart and tell us what men really are like and how we don't have to just be all wrapped up in little religious garments and sitting around being without any adventurous heart. And to find out Jesus is, you know, you really do have a kind of a unique way of seeing things. It must be up on the mountain. Jesus spent a lot of time on the mountain. You must see stuff. You must really see stuff up on the mountain. I have an idea. Maybe he is a little bit up in that we get up. Sometimes we seem to hear better. And Jesus kept going up. Main thing is, I think, to get away from all the sounds and the noise that distract us from being able to hear him. And I know you felt like you were called, literally called up into the presence of the Lord. We really appreciate you. And John, you know, we touched on that when I referenced a moment ago about the extravagant generosity. There's probably not anything we do. Mm. And when I say we, I'm including all the viewers all over the world. And by the way, I want to say a very personal word to those of you down under, those of you who really, in my opinion, in so many ways are up over in Australia. You have no idea how encouraging you are. By the way, those of you who support us in Australia, you know this, you don't get a tax deduction for what you do to help us. And I really regret that you don't, because I wish you did, but it hasn't hindered you at all. But I just want to say, Australia, thank you. Thank you for your prayers for us as a nation. Thank you for your love for what we do in Life Outreach. And all of you in the UK and in Canada, what a blessing you are, and to the US. What I'm saying to you is, all over the world, there is this incredible, extravagant generosity. Mm. And John, the thing I've seen with our viewers, there doesn't seem to be anything that they're not excited about trying to help with. Mm. But there's not anything they're more excited about helping with than drilling water wells. I mean, it's something you really want to do. Mm. Well, we're going to give you that opportunity. I tell you what I want you to do. Have you ever seen something that just really gripped your heart? And by the way, John, I think some of these, even the Humane Society's pictures of the puppies that are lonely and cat and hurt and sad, they really touch me.
They do.
And you know something? Something wrong with you if they shouldn't. Let me tell you what's sad. Sometimes that touches people more than seeing a broken child or a person. I just want you to look. See if you might not be the answer to what you see. I didn't see a single image or a child that I didn't want to help. And they take that water, and it's dirty, but it's precious. I don't know if you've ever really been thirsty. I think a few times, Betty, we got pretty far out. I guess I think I've been thirsty, but I've been thirsty like a lot of people. And then when you go and you try to get something, and it's dirty, and the mother knows that that little baby, that little child's going to be sick, and they go a long way to get water and do whatever they can. And we have the answer. We don't have wishful thinking. We don't have false hope. We can drill water wells. And we've got the teams, and you've paid for the drilling equipment. You did, people like you. All the drilling rigs are very expensive. And we're able to drill a well for an average cost of $4,800. I'll be honest with you, sometimes it's over $10,000. But we got a few places where it's $3,000 because it's so shallow. And it's easy to get to. Think about it, easy to get to. We just got to get to it. And then we give people a water well that just keeps giving for years, for a lifetime, basically. $4,800. You know what I believe, Betty, and I was really impressed before the program to say this, and I really believe this. We drill hundreds of wells. Twice a year we come, and we ask you to help us drill hundreds of wells in 15 or 20 countries where the missionaries have showed us the need and where the love of God is there in place. Now they demonstrate it. But I believe there's 100 people watching today. You may be some of you in Australia. You may all be in Australia or the United States. I don't know where. I believe there's 100 people today who can drill a well. And I believe you'd step up as one person. You know what? You got it. I can. It's $4,800. I made a statement one night, Betty. I remember where it was, in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I'd never made that statement publicly before. I said, you can drill a well. I said, there may be somebody here who can drill 10 wells. And a man in the back turned to his wife and said, honey, we can drill 10 wells. And they did. They gave $48,000. We were shocked. I'd never said that before. My staff said, we ought to say that everywhere we go. I said, well, that'd be nice, but I'm not going to do that. But he did do it, he and his wife. And you may be able to do that. Maybe you can give 10 wells. But I believe there are 100 people who give a well today, 4,800. Would you do it? Would you be one of them? I believe there are some of you who could say, well, I can't do that, but I can give part of a well. I could give 1,200 and I'll pray three join me and we'll have a well. Or 2,400 and pray one joins me and I got a well. But you know, most of you, and Betty, this is where most of our support comes, and I don't want you to ever think, because people say, you know, you always ask us to give big, but I love people to think big, because we have a big God, got a big heart. I want you to think big. But Jesus said the greatest gift was the one people thought was smallest, the widow's mite. So that's biggest.
Here you are. Here you are.
$48. Are you friend here? 10 people, water the rest of their life. $144, 30 people. So I don't know what level you can help at, but I believe you can help. Would you go to the phone right now, take your bank card. Now, please look. You take that bank card and use it like a plastic check. That's how you use it. It's a check. But take it and use it. Or you write a check, make it to Life. You're giving life. You want to go online, lifetoday.org, make the gift, whatever. But would you do what God's leading you to do today? Please do it. Father, I pray you'll direct. And people will joyfully give. Will you joyfully share life? We want to share some gifts with you. I want to share a book. Believe this, not that. Truth. You'll like this. We want to share with you a very helpful testimony. Coffee mug. Water for life. You are going to pray every time you drink that coffee. And the beautiful line in the lamb bronze to say thank you. Thank you for going to the phone. Please dial. If you get a busy, be persistent. Be determined. I'm going to give water to those precious children and their families. Thank you for doing it.
Every day, millions of children are forced to make a dreadful choice. Drink filthy, polluted water filled with deadly disease or die from thirst. No child should ever be faced with this decision. The good news is that there is a solution. Mission Water for Life is one of the most exciting and viable demonstrations of God's love in the world today. Suffering can end because clean water changes everything. With your gift today, we will begin drilling 350 new water wells for remote villages in 12 different nations. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 people. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10 people. $72 will impact 15 people. And $144 will help provide fresh, clean, disease-free water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift, be sure to request Believe This, Not That, a brand new topical Bible promise book that will encourage you in every area of life. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request our newly released Water for Life mug set, a daily reminder of the clean water you make possible to those who thirst. Also, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well. And be sure to request the 2012 commemorative bronze sculpture, The Lamb and the Lion. Please call, write, or make your secure gift online today.
You know, I'm anxious to send you the Lion and the Lamb bronze, a beautiful lion sculpture, the beautiful little lamb. Only God can do that. Only God can touch people's hearts enough to say, I'm going to give a well. I'm going to give toward it. I pray you will. We want to bless you with the book, Believe This, Not That, and the beautiful coffee mugs. And then today, if you'd like to have it, you make a gift to help us share water. We'll send you John Eldridge's book, Beautiful Outlaw. You're going to love it. John will be back with us for another program this week. Join Betty and me in saying thanks to John. God, appreciate you. God bless you. There's John Eldridge's email address if you want to know where he's going to be speaking or go to one of his men's conferences. It'd be great.
Faith, family, and freedom are under attack. James Robison and Jay Richards encourage a divided America to stand together before it's too late. Indivisible, coming soon to online and retail bookstores.
By stripping Jesus of his personality, what happened is we stripped the church and his followers of personality as well.
John Eldridge, tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.